We come in our second scripture reading to 1 Kings chapter 10, and we'll read the first 13 verses. 1 Kings chapter 10 and the first 13 verses. The visit of the Queen of Sheba to King Solomon. Let us hear the living word of the living God. Now when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels bearing spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she told him all that was on her mind. And Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing hidden from the king that he could not explain to her. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his officials, and the attendance of his servants, their clothing, his cupbearers, and his burnt offerings that he offered at the house of the Lord, there was no more breath in her. And she said to the king, "The report was true that I heard in my own land of your words and of your wisdom. But I did not believe the reports until I came and my own eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity surpass the report that I heard. Happy are your men. Happy are your servants who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, he has made you king, that you may execute justice and righteousness." Then she gave the king 120 talents of gold and a very great quantity of spices and precious stones. Never again came such an abundance of spices as these that the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Moreover, the fleet of Hiram, which brought gold from Ophir, brought from Ophir a very great amount of almug wood and precious stones. And the king made of the almug wood supports for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, also lyres and harps for the singers. No such almug wood has come or been seen to this day. And King Solomon gave to the Queen of Sheba all that she desired, whatever she asked besides what was given her by the bounty of King Solomon. So she turned and went back to her own land with her servants. Amen. May God bless to us the reading of his word. Well, we come this morning to one of the most well-known and perhaps also one of the most enigmatic passages in Scripture. Here we have this perhaps most famous journey in Scripture. A queen, likely from modern day Yemen, journeys 1,500 miles just to see the King of Israel. And so famous is this journey that, of course, it's been immortalized in music by Handel and his The Arrival of the Queen of Sheba. But while many know of this journey, while many have heard of the Queen of Sheba, much mystery surrounds this entire incident. We don't really clearly know who this woman actually was. No record of her life before her visit to Solomon or after her visit to Solomon. We don't even know precisely where she journeyed from. There is a veil cast over much that surrounds this passage. And while there is much that is mysterious and open to probably unprofitable speculation, the actual meaning, the actual significance of this passage is not in any sense unclear. Our Lord Jesus Christ says in Matthew chapter 12, the Queen of the South, that is the Queen of Sheba, will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Our Lord Jesus tells us clearly that in this passage, what we have is a sinner coming to saving faith. What we have here is a person who had no privilege, spiritually speaking, didn't grow up in church, cut off from God's covenant people. And yet, says Jesus, despite all the obstacles in her way, here is a woman who came and learnt true wisdom from Solomon. So much so did she learn that the feet of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, that on the day of judgment, she will be saved, while many who grow up in the church will not. So notwithstanding the mystery, the intrigue of this passage, what we have before us is a great example of a sinner coming to saving faith. And in unfolding that theme, we'll break the passage into three sections. Verses 1 to 2, we'll see a seeking queen. Verses 3 to 5, we'll see a wise and majestic king. And then in verses 6 to 13, we'll see a saved queen. A seeking queen, a wise and majestic king, and a saved queen. First then, verses 1 to 2, where we see a seeking queen. Now what we have here is a great meeting of royalty, a great meeting of heads of state. But this isn't the usual state visit that we're used to today, where rulers come together to discuss great matters of economic or military policy, to discuss mutual political benefit. Now we're told in verses 1 to 2 what sparked off this great state visit and occasion. And we're told first that it's the fame of Solomon. Now when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she began her journey. And it's no wonder really that someone who heard of the fame of Solomon would desire to meet him. Here's a king who has spent 20 years building a magnificent temple and a magnificent palace for himself. Here's a king who has a people who are uniquely happy living under him. 1 Kings 4, Judah and Israel were as many as the sand of the sea. They ate and drank and were happy. Here's a king who, despite the enemies and nations around him, is at peace and secure. Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms, from the Euphrates to the land of the Philistines and to the border of Egypt. And he had peace on all sides around him. Judah and Israel lived in safety. Here's a king who has a happy people, who lives in peace, and who has material blessings beyond our imagining. Solomon's provision for one day, 30 cores of fine flour, 60 cores of meal, 10 fat oxen, 20 pasture-fed cattle, 100 sheep, besides deer, gazelles, roebucks, fattened fowl. He lives with riches beyond imagining. And above all this, The fame of Solomon is his wisdom. God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure, breadth of mind like the sand on the seashore. So Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. The fame of this man, Solomon. And the Queen of Sheba hears of all this. Perhaps the trading ships of Solomon had visited Yemen. Perhaps she had heard of his wisdom on the diplomatic news wires of the day. But however she came to hear of it, the Queen of Sheba is captivated by the fame of Solomon. She has this desire to see if it can be as good as it sounds. And the question for us this morning is, have we been captivated by the fame of the greater than Solomon, the Lord Jesus Christ, with his greater wisdom, with his greater kingdom, and with his greater blessings? But more than simply the fame of Solomon, as we go on in verse 1, we see more deeply what the Queen of Sheba is seeking. Now, when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, concerning the name of the covenant God of Israel, or perhaps, as the NIV has it a bit better, the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon and his relationship to the Lord. See, this isn't a woman coming to admire a kingdom. This is a profoundly religious journey for the Queen of Sheba. This is about the Lord, the covenant God of Israel. That is the goal of her journey. She has heard that Solomon, this famous king, is Jedidiah, the beloved of the Lord. And so she wants to come and to know more of Solomon's relationship with the living God, to understand more about the covenant God of Israel. This is a woman who wishes to know the Lord. And again, for ourselves, the Queen of Sheba challenges us. Have we come to church this morning? Yes, captivated by the fame of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also with this deep-seated desire on our hearts to leave this place having known the covenant God better. The Queen of Sheba comes on this journey because of the fame of Solomon, because of his relationship with the covenant God. But this is no gullible woman. This is a strong ruler of her own prosperous kingdom. Just look at all the camels and spices she brings with her. So she doesn't just come to, on day one, bow down before Solomon's God. She comes to determine whether she should commit her life, her soul, her all to Solomon's God. She comes seeking, hoping that she will find what she needs. But she will commit her trust once she is fully persuaded. And so it is that she comes to the famous Solomon, to his God, with hard questions, the end of verse 1. She comes to prove Solomon, to test his credentials, to see if he is what he claims to be. There's a willingness to believe, but only if Solomon is what he claims. This is faith, but it is seeking understanding before it commits. What then were these hard questions that the Queen of Sheba comes to Solomon with? Well, we know that they are heart questions. Heart questions. These are things that she's pondered and considered long. That's what we're told at the end of verse 2. She told Solomon all that was on her mind. Things that she had turned over in her own thinking. Things that weighed on her. But we don't know any of the specifics. I'm sure we'd love to know. I'm sure we'd love to have the detailed conversation before us in full. But again, perhaps it's God's blessing for us that we don't. So that we can insert our own questions, the things that we turn over in our own minds, and we can take them to the greater than Solomon, the Lord Jesus. But while we don't know the specifics, we do get an insight into the kind of questions this woman was asking from what our Lord Jesus says in Matthew. Jesus said that this woman came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. These questions, the things that were on her mind, the things that were weighing her down, were related to the wisdom of Solomon. And so I don't think it's stretching scripture to say that these were primarily spiritual questions. The great questions of life and death, heaven and hell, good and evil. We don't have time to do this just now, but if you compare the word in the Hebrew here for hard questions with the words used in Proverbs chapter 1, just before Solomon goes on to say that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, that we can say the questions, the hard questions this queen is asking, all tend to that one great conclusion, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, the Queen of Sheba, attracted by the fame of Solomon, his relationship with God, comes with these hard questions to the king. But recall at this point who the Queen of Sheba is. She's a rich ruler of her own kingdom. She has everything that this world has to offer. In a sense, she is a woman who has already gained the whole world. She has everything that so many aspire to. Riches, status, success. But she still has questions. She still has hard questions. A deep-seated lack of fulfillment in her life. This rich, prosperous, successful woman is such a testimony to the truth that Augustine would say, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." And so especially young people here, don't trust in success. Don't trust in getting on in the world to deal with the questions, the deep-seated desires of your hearts. Rather like the queen here, who already had everything this world can offer. Lay your questions, lay your spiritual doubts, lay your difficulties before the greater than Solomon, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the power and the wisdom of God. So, a seeking queen. And then on to verses 3-5, a wise and majestic king. How will Solomon fare in his meeting with the Queen of Sheba? Will he be up to the challenge of her hard questions? Will he be able to satisfy her spiritual inquiries? Will the wisdom of the beloved of the Lord meet the test that is now before it? Well, verse 3, "And Solomon answered all her questions." There was nothing hidden from the king that he could not explain to her. Whatever were the burdens on the heart and mind of the queen, they were more than met by Solomon. He showed her the truth of Proverbs 16:10. The king speaks with divine wisdom. Divine wisdom flowing through the lips of Solomon met the Queen of the South's every need. Now note the kindness of Solomon's dealing with this woman. Solomon doesn't despise the fact that before him is a woman leader of a foreign power. No, all his time and all his wisdom is given over to her. Solomon doesn't despise the fact that here is a Gentile cut off ostensibly from the covenant community of Israel. He doesn't despise her testing hard questions, her riddles. They all receive an answer. He lays all his wisdom open to her. In rich kindness and grace, he meets her every question. And Solomon does this, yes, because he's a Christian, and that's what Christians do. We meet seekers with kindness and with grace. But Solomon, in seeing the Queen of Sheba coming to him, is also seeing a glorious answer to his own prayers. You'll remember at the dedication of the temple, Solomon prayed like this. Likewise, when a foreigner who is not of your people Israel comes from a far country for your name's sake, for they shall hear of your great name and your mighty hand, then do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, in order that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you. Solomon had prayed for, Solomon had anticipated this day when the rulers of the Gentiles would come, having heard of the fame of the God of Israel. This is the day that Solomon has desired. And so in his kindness, having received this answer to his own prayers, he responds to all that was on this woman's mind. Whatever her questions about good and evil in the world, whatever her questions about salvation, about the glorious God of Israel, Solomon satisfied her every need. He showed her true wisdom. And in this, Solomon is, of course, a pointer to the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. But as well as being wise, meeting all her questions, Solomon also showed himself to be glorious. He opened the glory of his house to her. He showed all his servants all the glory of his court. But above all, and note this, what is the last thing that Solomon does for this woman? What is the last thing that he shows her? At the end of verse 5, and his burnt offerings that he offered at the house of the Lord. The culmination of everything that this woman is seeking is what Solomon reveals to her at the last. He shows her that without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. And he shows her this wonderful picture of the greater than Solomon to come, the Lord Jesus, who would be the ultimate answer to all this woman's questions. Yes, Jesus was going to come as the one wiser than Solomon. Yes, Jesus was going to come as the one more glorious as a king than Solomon was. But ultimately, Jesus, unlike Solomon at all, was going to come himself as the burnt offering, the Lamb of God, who would take away the sin of the world. And it is when the Queen of Sheba sees the burnt offerings, it is then that there is no breath left in her. because it is at the cross of Christ. It is seeing Jesus Christ as the sin-bearing, the atoning Lamb of God that ultimately answers our every question. So we've seen a seeking queen, we've seen a wise and majestic king, and then finally we see a saved queen. How does the queen respond? She came with questions, she came with riddles. She's now seen the wisdom and majesty of Solomon. And so she responds. There was no more breath in her. Verse 6, and she said to the king, the report was true that I heard in my own land of your words and of your wisdom. But I did not believe the reports until I came and my own eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity surpass the report that I heard. The reports she had heard of Solomon and his kingdom were too good to be true. She'd hesitated to believe whether anything could be as glorious as what she had heard of Solomon's kingdom. She wouldn't believe it until she saw it with her own eyes. And then she says, though the reports I heard were incredulous, I couldn't believe your glory. Now that I've seen it, even the reports didn't do it justice. You know, it was right that this woman hesitated. So often in this world, we hear reports of things that when we examine them, they just disappear. You know, think of the young fan who's waited ages to meet his idol. It's going to be the greatest day in his life. And then he sees that his idol has just feet of clay, a proud, arrogant man who gives nothing to him. But this is the very reverse. This is a woman who heard great things. But the reality is even better than the report. She's left breathless, astonished by who Solomon is and by the glory of his kingdom. And she's transformed by this recognition of the glory of Solomon. We see as we just run through the passage, verse 8, the queen acknowledges how blessed a thing it is to be in Solomon's kingdom. She says, I see how happy your people are, Solomon. Verse 9, she blesses God. She praises the covenant God of Israel because he has given to his people such a king as Solomon. She says, because the Lord loved Israel forever, he has made you king. Then she offers her gifts to Solomon. Verse 10. She's seen how glorious Solomon is, that he lacks nothing, but yet she gives her gold, her spices, her little. She gives her gifts to the king. And then, having given her gifts to the king, verse 13, Solomon places all his royal power at her disposal. King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all that she desired. This is a saved, a transformed woman. She came with questions, with riddles. She has seen the king in his beauty. Now she knows how happy Solomon's people are, how blessed to have him as king. She lays her gifts before God's people, and she knows that King Solomon, in all his glory, will give her her every desire. And so as a saved queen, she turned and went back to her own land. She found Solomon. She found the covenant Lord of Israel. And in them she found all that she needed. She came seeking wisdom. And she found that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I'm sure you will be thinking what a wonderful picture this is for any of us if we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, our friends, our relatives can tell us of the wisdom, the beauty, the glory of the Lord Jesus. We can tell you how kind and merciful and gracious He is as the Savior of sinners. We can praise Him. But it's when you come to Him for yourself that you will say, the half was not told me. Follow then the Queen of Sheba. Come with your hard questions. Why is there something rather than nothing? Why is the world the way it is, full of problems and suffering and strife? Why is my conscience telling me that despite everything, things aren't right? Why does nothing ultimately satisfy me? Take these questions to the Bible. Take them in prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Find out the truth of who He is, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the eternal Son of God who came into the world to save sinners. See that His blood can cleanse us from the sin which has separated us from God. Take your questions to this book and in prayer to Jesus, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing you may have life in His name. Because when you do that, you will, like the Queen of Sheba, come to see what a glorious thing it is to be in not Solomon's, but in Jesus' kingdom. You will see that Jesus' people are a happy people. You will bless God for giving King Jesus in love to lead and guide His people. And you will be happy to lay whatever gifts you have at the feet of the Lord Jesus and say, use them, Lord, for your glory. And in return, you will find that the King of Heaven will give you your every desire that is good for you. If you ask anything in Jesus' name, He will do it. Come then to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you do, you will understand the words of Samuel Rutherford. Put the beauty of 10,000,000 worlds of paradise, like the Garden of Eden, put them in one. All trees, all flowers, all smells, all colors, all tastes, joys, sweetnesses, and loveliness in one. Oh, what a fair and excellent thing that would be. The glory and beauty of 10,000 perfect worlds. And yet, Rutherford says, this would be less in comparison to that fair and dearest, well-beloved Christ than one drop of rain is to all the seas, rivers, and lakes of 10,000 earths. When you come to Jesus Christ, you will understand what Samuel Rutherford meant. The half has not been told us. Amen. May God bless to us these thoughts on His word.